Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd.'s second quarter 2024 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2024 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., Mr. Gener Miao, CMO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd., Mr. Pan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., and Mr. Charlie Cao, CFO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead,
Mr. Li.
We are pleased to announce that thanks to our leading position in N-type TOPCon technology, competitive products, as well as global sales and manufacturing network, our module shipments grew by 34.1% year-over-year to 23.8 GW in the second quarter, ranking first in the industry. By the end of the second quarter, we had led the industry as the first solar company in the world to reach a total module shipments of 260 GW to nearly 200 countries and regions. This again demonstrated the power of our globalization strategy. In the second quarter, prices in several segments of the industry chain declined slightly on a sequential basis. We flexibly adjusted our production scheduling strategy and the utilization rates for different processes, and also optimized our supply chain strategy to control costs. Gross margin was 11.1% in the second quarter, almost flat sequentially. Adjusted net income was $52.1 million, slightly down sequentially.
上半年全球需求整体呈现高速增长的态势。2024年上半年国内光伏新增装机规模累计达到102.4个吉瓦，同比增长了30.7%。1至6月份光伏组件累计出口量同比增长20%左右。与此同时，行业内扩散项目的暂停、终止、延期等措施也陆续推出。 季度以来，产业链价格在持续磨底，大部分房企的价格已经跌破现金成本，行业开工率相对二季度环比下降，整体在低位。我们认为行业非理性的低价格不具备可持续，国家和行业层面的会议召开和管控政策的出台，陆续释放推出了关乎行业健康有序发展的信号。金融机构表示更加注重扶优扶强，则又支持具备技术创新能力、成本控制能力以及品牌渠道能力等较强护城河的优势企业，这些都将进一步加快产能落后的出清和行业整合。未来不同企业在持续经营能力和业绩分化会持续拉大，行业深度调整给企业带来挑战，同时这也有机会。我们会不断提高管理效率，巩固并扩大国际化优势，凭借资源优势和创新能力应对行业的挑战。
Global demand showed faster growth momentum in the first half of 2024. The newly added installations in China totaled 102 gigawatts in the first half, up 30% year over year. From January to June, total solar module exports increased by around 20% year over year. At the same time, we saw an increase in capacity expansion projects delayed, suspended, with even some terminated.As to existing capacity, some manufacturers have cut or suspended production. Coming into the third quarter, prices in the industry chain were low and volatile, with prices in most segments falling below cash cost. The utilization rate across the industry declined compared to the second quarter to an overall low level. We view this irrationally low prices as unsustainable.Meanwhile, government and industry launched the control policies to promote the healthy and orderly development of the solar industry. Financial institutions became more selective, preferring to favor strong and excellent companies with technological innovation and cost control capabilities, as well as brand channels advantages. We believe that all these matters will further accelerate the elimination of outdated capacities as well as industrial integration. In the future, we expect companies with robust sustainable operations to reinforce their industry leadership. The industrial adjustments are bringing both challenges and opportunities to companies. We will continue to improve our management efficiency,strengthen and expand our globalization advantage, taking on challenges in the industry with our resource advantages and innovative capabilities.
得益于全球化的市场布局优势和有竞争力的产品，截至二季度末，全年订单可见度已超过80%，开工率维持在行业领先的水平，其中安晴电池的开工率接近完。
Thanks to our global footprint and the competitiveness of our products, by the end of the second quarter, the visibility of our order book for 2024 exceeds 80%. We have maintained an overall leading utilization rate in the industry, especially for N-type cells, a utilization rate nearly 100%.
我们不断刷新电池技术的效率记录，那就这么基于 TOPCon 技术的钙钛矿叠层电池实验效率达到33.24%，相较去年32.33%大幅提升。18N型 TOPCon 电池平均量产效率超过26.1%。我们坚定地看好 TOPCon 技术成本、量产良率、专利保护和客户基数等方面仍是最具性价比的技术路线，且具有持续降本增效的空间。我们会结合成本的效率，逐渐推进新技术应用来保持领先。
We kept refreshing our records for cell efficiencies. At the end of the second quarter, lab efficiency of our N-type TOPCon-based perovskite tandem solar cell reached 33.24%, a significant leap beyond our previous record of 32.33% last year. The mass produced efficiency of our 182 TOPCon cells exceeds 26.1%. We firmly believe that TOPCon remains the path with the best economic performance in terms of cost, mass production yield, intellectual property protection, and customer acceptance, and still has room for further cost reduction and efficiency increase. We intend to keep our leading position by gradually adopting new technologies while consider both efficiency improvement and economic return.
我们持续优化供应链，以满足全球客户对低碳、清洁、高效、可靠的产品需求。今年一季度，我们发布了由 TUV 来源认证的零碳工厂所产生的 New Green 产品。截至目前，我们已经收到了积极的客户反馈，再度印证了金科对绿色生产和产品创新的承诺。
We continued to optimize our supply chain to cater to the demands of global clients for low carbon, clean, high efficient, and reliable products. In the first quarter of this year, we unveiled new green panels produced in zero carbon factory as certified by TUV Rheinland for compliance with the relevant criteria and requirements. So far, we have received positive feedback from our clients.This once again confirmed our commitment to clean manufacturing and product innovation.
面对国际贸易局势的变化，不断增加全球化能力显得越发重要。近期，我们宣布了与 PIF 子公司 Riyadh 在沙特合资建设10吉瓦高效 M 型电池和组件。这是公司从全球营销到全球制造的创新性转变。是公司全球化战略的重要里程碑。借助于我们多年深耕海外的经验，我们致力与全球合作伙伴共同搭建本土化的光伏生态圈，实现资源协同和优势互补，进一步提升我们在全球市场的竞争力。
This shift in international trade, continuing expansion of our globalization capabilities is becoming increasingly important.As recently announced, we have entered into a strategic partnership with renewable energy localization company, a wholly owned subsidiary of PIF, and the Vishing Industries company to form a joint venture in Saudi Arabia for the production of 10 gigawatts of high-efficiency solar cells and solar modules. This is another step in our innovative transformation from global sales to global manufacturing.And an important milestone for our globalization strategy. With years of experience overseas, we are dedicated to building localized solar ecosystems together with our partners to achieve synergy of resources and complementarity of advantages and further grow our competitiveness in the global market.
我们也在加速推出披荆产能，预计到2024年底，我们的单晶硅片、高效电池和组件的产能将达到120吉瓦、95吉瓦和130吉瓦，先进产能结构持续领先行业。
We are accelerating the clearing out of P-type capacity to optimize our capacity structure. We expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 95 and 130 gigawatts respectively by the end of this year. We expect our advanced capacity structure to continue to lead the industry.
借助 M 型 TOPCon 技术和有竞争力的产品、全球化的营销和制造布局等优势，我们维持全年组件出货指引100到110个吉瓦不变。我们会积极把握市场需求变化带来的机遇，平衡市场风险。2024年第三季度组件出货量在23吉瓦到25吉瓦之间，预计2024年底 N 型电池量产效率将达到26.5%。公司整体现金流健康，将持续优化资产负债结构和现金流水平，不断提升抗风险能力。
With our advantages in N-type TOPCon technology, competitive products, as well as global sales and manufacturing network, we reiterate our guidance for module shipments to be between 100 and 110 gigawatts for the full year 2024, and we will continue to implement our globalization strategy to actively seize market opportunities and mitigate market risks.We expect module shipments to be between 23 to 25 gigawatts for the third quarter of 2024. By the end of this year, we expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 26.5%. Overall, we are holding a healthy cash flow. We will continue to optimize the structure of our assets and liabilities, as well as our cash flow levels, strengthening our resistance to risks.
Thank you, Ms. Li. Total shipments were 25.3 gigawatts in the second quarter, with module shipment accounting for approximately 94%. We are pleased to continue to rank number one in the world for the module shipments, as we are increasingly recognized by global clients for our high efficient and reliable products and services. In terms of geographic mix, approximately 60% of our module shipment went to overseas markets in the second quarter, with Asia Pacific and Europe accounting for majority. Sequentially, shipments to the U.S. were relatively stable and shipments to Europe increased by 40%. Thanks to the continuous improvement in Tiger Neo's product strength, Tiger Neo's shipment accounted for 85% of total shipment in the second quarter, a steady increase from nearly 80% in the first quarter as these modules are increasingly accepted by clients, particularly in China, Europe, and North America. Currently, we lead the industry as the first solar company in the world to reach a cumulative N-type module shipment of 100 gigawatts. They continue to enjoy a premium in global market with premiums in some markets like Europe, US, and the Middle East especially high. On the strength of our extensive global sales network, we will continue to optimize our shipments and the product portfolio. We were recognized as a top performer across all reliable categories, reliability categories in the PV module reliability scorecard published by Kiva TVEL for the 10th consecutive time. And we topped the PV Tech 2024 Q2 module tech bankability report with the highest AAA rating. This is a continuous recognition of our commitment to quality, innovation, and R&D over the long term, as well as clients' long-standing trust in our products' quality, bankability, and reliability. Recently, we became one of the few companies to have won both Tier 1 energy storage provider and the Tier 1 PV module manufacturer by Bloomberg. These honors are not only a testament to the power of our outstanding brand, but also an affirmation of our proactive contribution to global energy transformation. As the economics of solar energy become more apparent, we expect demand in the global market to stay around 600 gigawatts in 2024 and grow steadily in 2025. In addition to mainstream markets like China, US, and Europe, emerging markets such as Middle East and some countries in Asia Pacific are also showing strong growth potential. With our accumulated experience in global sales and a growing industry channel footprint, we are confident we will, over time, seize the opportunities brought about by the growth in global market demand more rapidly and more high efficiently, and optimize overseas supply chain to effectively cope with changes in international trade policies. We will continue to optimize our products and services, constantly enhancing our competitiveness globally through strategic market positioning and outstanding client relationship management. With that, I will turn the call over to Pan.
Thank you, Junior. We are pleased to report sequential growth in module shipments and total revenues in a very challenging second quarter. While module prices declined, we reduced cost through supply chain optimization and technology upgrade, improved operating efficiency, optimized asset and liability structure. Gross margin was relatively flat sequentially, and our asset liability ratio was down by 1 percentage point compared to the year beginning. Despite the challenging situation in the industry, we did not stop returning value to our shareholders for their long-term support. At the beginning of August, we announced a cash dividend of $1.5 per ADS, which was paid today as planned. In addition, as of today, we have repurchased a total of 5.6 million ADAs in an aggregate amount of over 130 million in the open market. And our share repurchase program announced in July 2022 and the extended share repurchase program announced in December last year. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was about 3.3 billion, up 4.4% sequentially and down 21% year over year. The year over year decrease was mainly due to a decrease in the average selling price of solar modules. Gross margin was 11.1% compared with 11.9% in the first quarter this year and 15.6% in the second quarter last year. The year-over-year decrease was mainly due to the decrease in average selling prices of modules. Total operating expenses were about 525 million, up 24% sequentially, and up about 18% year-over-year. The sequential and year-over-year increases were mainly due to the write-off the net book value of the equipment resulted from the fire accident in Shanxi province, which was partially offset by estimated insurance proceeds from the fire accident in the second quarter this year. So the operating expenses accounted for about 16% of the total revenues in the second quarter, compared to 13% in the first quarter and about 11% in the second quarter last year. Net loss attributed to the Jinko Solar Holding Company Limited ordinary shareholders were 13.9 million in the second quarter this year. Excluding the impact of the change in fair value of the convertible senior notes, fair value loss related to the investment in solar supply chain companies, share-based compensation expenses, and net loss resulted from a fire accident in Shanxi. Adjusted net income attributed to the Jinko Solar Holding Company ordinary shareholders was about 52 million. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the second quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 1.91 billion compared with 2.4 billion in the first quarter this year. AR turnover days were 89 days compared with 100 days in the first quarter this year. Inventory turnover days were 82 days compared with 89 days in the first quarter this year as a result of improving operating efficiency. At the end of the second quarter, total debt was 3.86 billion compared to 3.66 billion in the first quarter. Net debt was 1.95 billion compared with 1.22 billion in the first quarter this year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Your first question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital Partners.
Hi, this is Matt Ingram on for Phil. Thank you for taking our questions. You know, looking into the back half of the year in 2025, how do you see module pricing trending? And then on gross margins, what is it going to take to return to the mid-teens margin levels? And do you think this could be achievable in 25?
Thanks for the question. This is Jenna. I think in general, the market price will stay at a relatively low level for a while for most of the market. It's really because, in general, the oversupply situation is quite obvious across the industry. But for sure, the margin-wise, it depends on the cost, how fast the cost reduction can catch up with the low price situation right now, right? So we, at least from what we are seeing right now, quarter by quarter or month by month, the cost reduction is happening almost every day. So hopefully with the improvement from the cost control and also the, you know, all the actions we are taking or the whole industry is working on, the margin could go back to at least a healthy level as early as possible.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then kind of on supply and demand, you know, with module prices so low for so long, is that resulting in any demand elasticity? And if so, which countries or regions could we see upside surprise in demand? And then on the supply side, when do you think this oversupply situation across the supply chain gets resolved? Does this happen, you know, next few quarters, next 12 months or longer?
It's really difficult to forecast the right which day the market will turn upside down. But we see everything is gradually going to that direction. Everyone from the demand side, no matter it's US, Europe, or China, or other emerging markets, we still foresee a healthy growth year over year. Meanwhile, when we see the supply side, for sure we have seen some newcomers has dropped their plans to give up what they planned to do previously. And also from the policy-wise, we see some China government policy initiative, which is trying to control the new expansion of the capacity, which shows a pretty strong signal to, let's say, constrain the capacity supply side as well. So, and also the current loss-making market will shake out some of the weak players across industry too. So adding all those up together, you know, supply side is we see a steady growth year over year. And the supply side, you know, we see some actions taking. It might take some time, but it's moving on the direction to restrict the supply into more rational levels. So adding those two together, we hope give it several quarters, the things will get back to a rational level. I hope.
Great, thank you. I'll pass it along.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies.
Thank you for taking my question. This is Alan from Jefferies. So first of all, the results are actually quite impressive, especially during the backdrop of a very challenging market environment. So I got a couple of questions would like to check with the management. First of all, what is the U.S. shipment amount and also the U.S. shipment expectation in second half of this year? And what is your view on the policy risk in the U.S. market, especially there were recently filings of critical circumstances?
So for U.S., it's a very special market. We see the market is first day for JinkoSolar, we are gradually getting back our market share gradually after the efforts we have taken in the last 2 years' time. So if you look into the total shipment numbers, we have provided the range of 5 to 10% as the annual shipment range. But if we look into Q4, it's roughly 5 to 6%. So seasonally, you know, it changes because, for example, right now there's a rush before the tariffs kick in. Also, the market demand is picking up. So season quarter by quarter there will be some small changes, but in general I think it's still falling into the range between 5 to 10% of our total shipment in US. And for the long term, we still believe US is a great market because of the demand, thanks to the AI driven, you know, the electricity demand is strong. And also the IRA Act is a strong support to the new capacities, both on the manufacturing side and on the utility project development side as well. So in long term, we are still a big fan of U.S. Solar market, and we believe, you know, we will continue to be there to find a, let's say, a stable supply plan to serve our clients in U.S. Even there are some, there might be some turbulence on the trade policy side, but we still have some prepared solution on it.
Yeah, for the second, you know, the urgent, you know, I think you are talking about the urgent, you know, circumstances for the 83D.
Yep.
No, it's really a little bit of risk, but we have proactively managed the situations and based on the, you know, the regulations, and we think, you know, we are, you know, the risk to Jinko is relatively low.
Is it because of the relatively stable volume from Jinko? Like there was no spike in volume, so you think it's actually compliant with the rules, right?
It's a relatively complicated, but you know, we are the mandatory respondent to the case 83D. So, and if you are going to be qualified for the, you know, the situations, you must be, you know, the volume shipments after the filing date of case, and this is the before, and there should be a significant increase of shipments. So we proactively manage and the volume. So that is what I'm saying, you know. But there's still some kind of risk, but we think the risk is low for Jinko.
Thank you. It's very clear. So, and also would like to know, what is the progress in our Middle East? Because there was a huge announcement on the capacity tanking war in Saudi Arabia. So we would like to know what is the estimated timeline of that capacity, and what type of policy you expect would be benefited.
You know, it's really a very strategic move for our international manufacturing, and you know, it's not only a purely, you know, facilities in Saudi Arabia, and we are working with the PIF and you know, the region industries, and the Saudi Arabia, we have very big ambition for the energy transitions by 2030. And we work together to localize the productions or advanced capacities, 10 gigawatts, so the module capacities. And Saudi, I think the government has a policy department, which is, you know, the goal is to, you know, to help to promote local productions in Saudi Arabia. So. We expect, you know, after our operational, you know, in 2026, and the modules in Saudi Arabia locally will be have a premium compared to, you know, the modules out of Saudi Arabia. And on top of that, the government has, you know, has a strong support policies. And, to the joint ventures in Saudi as well.
So, would there be any localization requirement on tendering so that you can ensure all of your modules will be sold, and also even some of your competitors will have to buy your modules because of that localization requirement?
I would like to be very confident, you know, we will have a very unique competitiveness and in Saudi and for the Saudi market. And the Saudi, if you look at the total market size, it's roughly 50-60% of the total Middle East. And the Middle East, we are very optimistic, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years. And you know, I think you want to expose your detailed policies. There's some policies existing, but it's going to be developed, I think, by the government as well. And the current policy is 20% local content with some kind of additional penalty. But the big issue is in Saudi Arabia, there is no any, you know, qualified module producers. So most of the developers at this stage is they get the waiver letter, you know, by my understanding, because there is no available local, you know, local producers. But you know, we, you know, I think we are in a good position to penetrate the market, and you know, after launch our joint venture.
So you'll be technically the only qualified producers by 2026. So that might bring you premium there, right?
I would love to say that, but I think we will be the first mover, you know. So we take that advantage.
I see.
We will be the first mover.
And an accounting question on the financials, because I saw in the adjusted calculations of adjusted earnings, actually it's around 380 million. So is it like RMB 665, and then you take 58% of shareholding on the loss of that, so that you get 380 million?
So you're talking about EPS or weighted average?
The adjusted net income. So it's shown as 378 million RMB. So there's a net loss due to the Shaanxi fire accident of 380 million. So we'd like to know if this 380 million is 58% of 665 million in the Asia level.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, the total numbers for the Asia is kind of, you know, the number you're talking about, and because
the US
holds 58%, so the minority, you know, there's a, I think, separate line, net income attributable to non-controlling interests, that consolidated all the net income should be allocated to the minority interest from the perspective of the U.S. NESCO.
Understood. So including the loss from the Shaanxi province, right?
Yes.
It's also proportionated.
Yes, proportionated.
Yes. Thank you. So my final question is, what is the usage of FBL polysilicon now? Can you use 100% of that to save cost?
Oh, you mean the polysilicon out of China, right?
FBR, the granular polysilicon. Yeah.
I think we get kind of the, you know, improvement on utilization levels, and typically it's kind of 30%, you know, to 50%.
Thank you. I'll pass on. Thanks a lot, Charlie.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from William Griffin with UBS.
Hi, thanks a lot for the time. Just a couple for me. The first one was on the tandem cell efficiency that you noted in the press release. Could you just talk about kind of where you are in the development process for that technology and how long before you think we could see something become commercially available?
Yeah, the tandem is still in the R&D stage, but we are optimistic for the, you know, for the future, the commercialization of the TOPCon, you know, plus the, you know, the tandem, you know, technology. But still, you know, it's if you look at the time scheme, it's we believe it in the next 5 years, you know, it's still in the, you know, laboratory stage, and it's possible after 5 years it could be commercialized, but it depends a lot of, you know, progress. So back to your question, we don't believe it's commercially 100% visibility at this stage, and the earlier time maybe after 5 years.
Got it. Thank you. And then just on the TopCon side, obviously there's been a lot of headlines and reports of litigation, companies claiming IP around TopCon. A little bit hard to get a good handle on, the patent landscape there. Just wondering if you could speak to, how comfortable you are with your position sort of in the TopCon IP landscape across your key markets and maybe any sort of discussions around licensing or other legal actions that maybe you've been having.
So the patents, if you look at, Jinko is kind of the TopCon promoter, the leader of technology. And in the recent 3 years, we invested around 5 to 6% total revenue on R&D, and a significant part we put into the TopCon. So we're really very confident, about our patents, particularly on TopCon. If you look at the total volume, if you look at the quality, if you look at the, the patents are, the spread in different countries, particularly out of China. So I think at the beginning of this year, we also announced some kind of news. We granted some kind of patents to one solar company, one solar module companies, one solar cell companies. So that, demonstrates our, strong capabilities on R&D and patent position.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhry with Samsara Capital.
Good morning. I have a few questions. The first couple of questions are just housekeeping. Can you tell us what the depreciation and the capital spending numbers were for the second quarter and what the targets are right now for the full year?
Okay. Thank you for the question. And in the second quarter, we reduced the our CapEx as compared with the first quarter, which was the total CapEx in the first half year would about be 4 billion RMB. And our prospective total CapEx in the whole year would be adjusted to about 9 billion RMB.
Hey, Rajiv, I think the big question, the big picture is, it's a tough situation, right, in the industry wise. But the industry has suffered in, I think, 3 or 4 quarters. And as top one companies, we carefully manage the companies and, sustainable growth. And we balance the shipment profitability and further, solidify our positions on the cash flows, particularly. On top of that, we significant cut the CapEx this year as well as next year, as well as lower the operating expenses and optimize our operation, and including train some labor, labor force. So, and if you look at our CapEx, if you next year, we don't have any plan, CapEx plan, except for the Saudi Arabia, capacities, which is a strategic move. So just, for illustration and for your understanding. But we think, after several quarters, we cannot project exactly. And but we have seen, the big players, top two, top three, even some kind of relatively middle players have been consolidated or be phased out downward cycle. So we are getting prepared is ready to go through the cycle time.
So are you suggesting that CapEx in 2025 will be even less than the $9 billion in 2024?
Yes, definitely. And if you, Saudi Arabia is very unique, even, you know, because we take 40% equity, and really, you know, equity could will be $100 million and next year. So except for that, I think we have some kind of maintenance CapEx, as well as some kind of investment on R&D. You know, R&D CapEx. So definitely it's going to be, you know, lower next year.
Okay. And what about depreciation in the second quarter?
So each month, roughly, you know, if you want to use your financial models, it's kind of 500 million. RMB to 600 million RMB you can put in your financial model. Anyway, and if you have detailed number, you know, questions, I would suggest you can have a follow up with, you know, with our IR teams and to give you a detailed number.
Okay, okay. So moving on to the next question, that is on your average selling prices. Your average selling price in the second quarter was down quite a bit. It was down actually. More than 10%, 15% from the first quarter. And part of the reason I get from reading the presentation is that DG was 50% of sales, and most of DG is, I think, in China. So the combination of focus on China and DG led to a pretty sharp decline in ASPs. Now, as you go into the second half of the year, and shipments as a proportion of total shift away from China, shift away from DG, will that provide a more benign backdrop for pricing for you?
You know, the spot market price, in the last 3 or 6 months has continued to decline, but we think it's going to be, you know, the lowest level to be stabilized. But if you look at financial numbers, because we have different buckets, the utility scale, the DG segment, we have different markets, U.S., you know, Japan, different regions, and different lead time for signing the contracts. So if you look at the ASP, you're right, I think it's reflecting the industry-wide, the downward of sport market price for the modules. But we, you know, because we have different lead time, different countries, so in each quarter, you know, Q2, Q1, and the average ASP is in the downward side, and we expect that continue to trend in the third quarter, but relatively stable in the fourth quarter. So it's, you know, but on the other side, if you look at the supply chain perspective, the material costs continue to the trend.
So can we expect that the decline in ASPs will moderate from Q2 to Q3? Relative to what we saw in Q1 to Q2?
Yes, I would like to say, you know, if you look at Q4 versus Q3, it's kind of be relatively, you know, modernized.
Okay. Can you say that we are at the point where pricing can be expected to be stable, or we are not there yet?
I think, you know, kind of the time scheme, you know, if you look at the sectors, most of the sectors is suffering cash losses. We don't believe there's a significant room further. And with the phase out of capacities, it should be kind of be stabilized. If you look at the solar wafer price in recent week, some top players, they have increased the swap market price a little bit. And even, you know, poly price has been stabilized. So step by step, I think, you know, you will see the module and as well as the solar cell in the price.
I see. Okay. Charlie, your costs were down, apart from the decline in polysilicon prices, your production costs were down quite significantly also in the second quarter, and that helped you maintain the gross margin at a double-digit level. Can you break down some of the reasons why the costs were down, and can we expect costs to keep on coming down at the same rate that we saw from Q4 to Q1 and then Q1 to Q2? We have had some pretty dramatic declines in costs here, and that is separate from the polysilicon price.
Yes, you know, there are a lot of efforts we are working on. You know, the continued to you know, to optimize our design, you know, and the key materials, the purchase price continue to be have been improved, and improve the working efficiencies and labor costs, you know, cut off, and you know, operating expenses, you know, optimizations. So there are a lot of, you know, efforts we are working on.
So does that mean that gross margin can go up in the third quarter relative to the second quarter?
No, I don't believe that, you know, frankly speaking, but I think, you know, we are confident, you know, the gross margin is the bottom, and we try to, you know, to be stable, you know, try to stabilize.
But you're not confident that it can go up from Q2 to Q3 yet?
No, I you know, I would like to say, you know, stabilize are kind of, you know, if you look at our peers, you know, we are in a relatively good positions, and stabilize and the phase out takes time. But I think it's not going to take 1 or 2 years, but maybe take a couple of, you know, several quarters. And on top of that, we you know, we take the leverage our, you know, global manufacturing and the marketing capabilities, and optimize the, you know, the economics.
Okay. Another question is on the N-type market. What do you think the size of the N-type market will be in 2024 this year? And what will your market share be if you do 90 to 95 gigawatts?
Harry, just sorry to interrupt you. We will take this as the final question, and for more questions, we can discuss after the call. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think in time this year is kind of the, you know, the top kind of dominance. This is a domination year for N-type TOPCon. And the market, you know, penetration for TOPCon, roughly I think maybe 70 to 75%. And JinkO, roughly 90%. So that's, if you look for next year, I think it should be 1%, you know, penetration for N-type.
There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.